Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The exhibition encompasses his entire life from his early childhood and youth in New York, goes through his wartime experience in the Second World War, then focuses on his writing career, writing short stories for magazines, including, of course, The New Yorker, most importantly, and then focuses on some of his family life and friendships with people like fellow writers, editors, and some of the soldiers that he served with in France and Germany.
And can you tell me a little bit about some of the exhibits that you have? Objects that you have on display?
So we have, as you walk into the gallery, you'll see, the first thing you'll see is Salinger's typewriter. This is one of two typewriters that he used over the course of his career. We believe it's the typewriter that he used to type Catcher in the Rye. And as well as that, there are, you know, artifacts, things that he used, his eyeglasses, for example, his reading glasses, a bowl of pipes that he smoked. He stopped smoking in the early 1970s, but he was an avid pipe smoker, and so there's a collection of his pipes. There's a stand, a book stand or paper stand that he used on his desk. There are several books, he called them his Vade Mecums, that he copied special spiritual texts that were important to him, and he copied those by hand. And you can see how he's highlighted those with yellow crayons, and we've got a little bowl of the yellow crayons that he used on a regular basis. So it almost feels as if we're not trying to, of course, to replicate his desk from his study, but these are things that he used on a daily basis, and will give you a sort of a feel for, you know, for the way in which he worked.
Yeah, and I think we as fans of literature are sometimes fascinated with the writing process. So what do we learn about Salinger's?
So one of the things you learn, and it won't be any surprise, is that he was incredibly meticulous. So when you look at, say, the typescript of Catcher in the Rye alongside the galley proofs for the novel, you can see that he's continuing to work on this book long after it's finished. He's making quite a lot of revisions in the typescript. He's cancelling passages, and the page that we show has quite an extensive cancelled passage that Holden, he removed from the book. It's Holden speaking, of course, and that's just gone. It doesn't exist in the book at all. And you can see him continuing to make changes right up through galley stage, and some of them are just, you know, occasional typos, but in other cases, he's having second thoughts about words or phrases, and so you can see just this intense level of commitment on Salinger's part from right through the whole process. And it's also there in his letters, in particular the letters to his son Matt, where he talks about his maturing as a writer. There's a letter from the mid-70s where he talks about his style as a result that's come about as a result of a long process of maturing.
Right, and you mentioned Matt. Can you tell me a little bit about that relationship? What was that like to be so personal and work with his family?
Well, it was wonderful, actually. I mean, you couldn't have a better better guide to an archive than the son or close family member. In this case, it's the son, of course, of the author. Of course, you know, he wasn't there looking over his shoulder while he was writing, certainly not the early works, at least. But there are one or two great anecdotes. For example, one of the things we focus on in the exhibition is the great care that Salinger took over the appearance of his books, in particular the cover designs, and his very specific specifications for some of those cover designs. And Matt remembers how on one occasion, his father took a blank sheet of paper and drew several, I think it's eight in total, colored lines on the top left-hand corner and sent it back to his agent and said, this is what I want the cover of all of my books to look like in the uniform edition. And we actually have the page with Salinger's own markup and with his notes. And it was funny that Matt, you know, vividly remembers this from, I think, the 70s or maybe early 80s. And so that was a moment that stands out in his memory. And so to have that kind of corroborative evidence is invaluable, I think.
Right, yeah, and I do, yeah, all of his books sort of have the same kind of cover, and that makes it stand out, and you know you're reading one of his works.
Mm-hmm.
But my copy of Catcher in the Rye was actually a drawing. It was from the 50s. And there was like the hat and everything, so I sort of had someone's version of Holden displayed, and I kind of wish I didn't.
Yeah, well, Salinger himself would have been, I think it's fair to say, angry. He was angry about that depiction of Holden, and in fact, one of the great things we have in the exhibition is Salinger's letter to his British publisher, Hamish Hamilton, where he took issue very vehemently about that depiction because, of course, Salinger did not want his readers to encounter any kind of visual imagery that would, in some ways, supplant or replace the writer's own words about what a character looked or acted like. And so any kind of depiction of Holden or any of the characters in the short stories was completely anathema to Salinger. He really deeply resented that.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's I'm glad I know that because I know maybe I'll I'm definitely going to hold on to it now, but I'm glad I know that he wouldn't have liked my cover that
yeah,
I have.
we have an example of it in the exhibition, actually. It's among the very many foreign language editions that we're showing above the exhibition cases in the gallery.
Right, well, then you probably know exactly what I'm talking about with the
mm-hmm.
red cover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, some of the covers were rather lurid, particularly the paperback edition of For Esme, which was the British title for Nine Stories.
Right. And so we know he was a private man, and he was also very prolific, and I read one time that he wrote every day, which is an inspiring little factoid for, you know, someone like me, a writer who needs to be inspired to do something. And if you find out that one of the people that you're inspired by writes every day, then maybe you should too. But that means there's probably a lot of stuff to go through. And I know there were some unreleased works. Do you have any copies of that, or were you working with Matt on that?
No, it was always understood from the very beginning that we would only show typescripts of published work. Obviously, that doesn't include letters because none of the letters are published and they're all really fascinating in their own way. But none of the fiction that Salinger chose not to publish will be in the exhibition.
Okay, gotcha. And I know that will be to be determined when those will be released.
Yes, I'm hoping that we might have perhaps a future exhibition where we can show some of those.
Oh, yeah, me too. And what do you think Salinger would think about his works being displayed at the New York Public Library?
Well, I would imagine he would have fairly mixed feelings or perhaps be unhappy about it. This was not a decision that Matt took lightly, of course. This was quite a long time in the making before he came to us with the idea to do an exhibition of works from his father's archive. Given what I know about Salinger and his desire for privacy, which was unwavering, I suspect this is something he would never have permitted, and of course never did in his lifetime, but I think put his trust in his son to make the right decisions on his behalf after his death. And I think that this is the right time to do it, given that this is the centennial year of Salinger's birth. He was a New Yorker, and what better place for a great New York writer to have their work on display than here at the New York Public Library. I think I certainly think the stars have aligned in terms of, you know, the institution and the author.
Absolutely. And, you know, public school kid, I think he's really revered by New Yorkers. I really do.
Oh, yeah, I would agree, definitely.
And I just think that there's, I mean, whenever someone can kind of capture the city in a way that we relate to and can not agree with, but just see ourselves. Like, I mean, of course, the famous description of the ducks at Central Park Lake and all of that. So is that sort of an underlying theme in the exhibition?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's an underlying theme, although one could not visit this exhibition and leave without a very strong sense that Salinger, even though he spent, you know, the second half of his life, or actually slightly more than that, really, in rural New Hampshire, was very much a New Yorker at heart. And of course, he returned to the city on a regular basis. I mean, it wasn't this. I think this whole notion that Salinger was somebody who never went outside his front door, was in some way reclusive, is exploded in this exhibition. I mean, you'll see a man who was very connected to the world, who read the New Yorker magazine right up until the time of his death, who read the New York Times every day, who cut clippings from the paper and annotated them. You know, he was engaged with the world, but he was just engaged with the world on his own terms. I mean, he traveled fairly extensively. We have one of the great things we have in the exhibition is two of his passports. This was not somebody who didn't go outdoors. In fact, he spent a great deal of his time outdoors because he loved the outdoors, which is why he loved New Hampshire in particular. But when he came back to New York, you know, there's evidence that he liked to stroll in Central Park. And of course, he came back to see friends, people that he had worked closely with at the New Yorker. And he came to see them. They came up to New Hampshire to see him. This is not an antisocial person in any way. And we also have letters in the exhibition to Salinger, because one of the great things about having access to the archive is you have both sides of the correspondence. You have the letters that Salinger received and also copies of letters he sent to his correspondents. So in some cases, we've been able to pair the incoming and outgoing letter, which gives you the full picture. And I think that's one of the truly good things about this exhibition, is that it allows you to see more of a rounded picture of the author than hitherto.
I think we do think of him as being pretty reclusive, but this sounds like a great way to learn about his personality.
Yeah. I don't see him as a reclusive person. I see him as a contemplative person, and I think there's a difference there. And I think, you know, it's just that figurations of authorship in the second half of the 20th century, where the expectation is that authors would go on, you know, increasingly today, of course, on book tours and TV shows and, you know, make as much money or fuss about talking about their work as actually doing it, and in some cases to the detriment of the work, where, you know, there's so much time spent doing all the activities around promotion that, you know, when does the writing itself get done? He was just opposed to that. And, you know, I think every writer, every artist really, has the right to live their life, especially their creative life, on their own terms. I mean, that after all is the whole point of being an artist of any kind. And that was just the way he chose to do it. I think, you know, in Salinger's case, that just fueled curiosity and interest, and particularly his decision to no longer publish after 1965. I think that just probably made some people crazy. And, you know, it's fair enough in a way. If you love an author's work and you feel that there's more of it and you're just not getting to see it, then I can sort of sympathize with that in a way. But I certainly wouldn't characterize Salinger as reclusive. I mean, when you see the exhibition, you see the photographs of him, you know, at various stages in his life, you can see that this is not a man who, you know, who avoided society. I mean, he avoided, you know, crowds, but you know, he traveled. He, you know, took trips to Europe. He was, you know, to all intents and purposes, a quote normal person, whatever that is. I don't know that I've ever met one myself.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sorry I've asked a few questions about this, but just because we're a local New York station, I have to ask again. Do you think New York was inspiring to him at all?
Was New York inspiring? Well, you know, Matt told us that his father loved the New York Public Library, and I certainly think that, you know, coming back to my earlier point about how appropriate this is for the library to be doing this exhibition, we know that he came here and read. I don't know that he wrote any of his fiction here, but he was an avid reader his entire life, and certainly, like you said earlier, New York is such a feature. As the backdrop to so many of the scenes in Catcher in the Rye, that it would not be wrong to speak of the city, his home city, as inspirational in various ways. He's a novelist who's rooted in the city. I mean, certainly he writes about growing up in New York and what that meant to him. But he was one of those New Yorkers who wanted to, you know, to get out. Sometimes that's the case.
Right. Absolutely. So those are all my specific questions. I really enjoyed talking with you about this, but
you're very welcome, Elizabeth.
And
Great talking with you.
Thank you. And I just want maybe just one last thing about if you could summarize who would enjoy this and why we should come.
So I think anyone who's ever read any of Salinger's books, or even if you haven't and you've just heard of him, and you have this sort of, what I would say, inaccurate impression of him as somebody who was inaccessible in whatever way that might be, I think that you'll re-examine that idea as a result of seeing this exhibition. Anyone interested in Salinger's fiction, I think will find this quite an eye-opener.